Welcome to Light Embassy Church.
Living life to the full.
Welcome to another life-transforming show,
bringing clarity and balance into your walk of faith.
Spiritually understood. And our team scripture is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, KJV. I read, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." I read again. "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." The things of God are spiritually understood, and without the Holy Ghost, no one can understand the mysteries of the kingdom. It is totally impossible without the Holy Ghost. When God says something, you humble yourself to what he has said. To take any other position is pride. Sometimes there are Christians who act proudly without even knowing. Pride is of the heart. You know, sometimes many Christians judge things based on what they can see. So you can see someone presenting himself as cool talker, talking softly, patiently. See, I'm a man of God. Many times I see things, I discern many things, but it's not everything that I see and discern that I talk about, right? Because the heart of a man is the eyes of the Spirit. I discern things, but not everything that we see that, because a man of God, love is greater than knowledge. Right? That says, Paul says, knowledge puffs out, but love edifies. So even though we may see certain things, I see certain things, sometimes I just ignore. And there are some people, Christians, who really in their heart, they are really proud. You see, they are really, really proud. Irrespective of what they present outwardly, deep down, they are really proud. And God is not like man who just looks at things externally. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, God said to Samuel, the prophet Samuel, man looks at what? The externals. God looks at the heart. Pride is more than what is seen outwardly. It's of the heart. And many times, many Christians are proud inwardly, you see, without even knowing. See? Now, you should not say without even knowing. They know they are proud, just that they present a certain hypocritical figure. Says that as a Christian, you ought to understand how to walk with God. The things that God sends us to preach may not make sense to the natural or carnal mind, but it doesn't mean they are not true. Man came to meet a fallen world, so all his wisdom is based on experiences and observations of his world. This is why truth, which is the wisdom of God, doesn't make sense to him. See, I am a man of God. Oh, sure, I am. I am a servant of God. You see, this year I'll be 33 years old. So, by God's grace, I've been here for a while. Sometimes, when we come to share certain mysteries, there are some Christians who think that we just started off like this. No, we also were born to this world. We started like children, we also grew. Those things that those Christians, because of that, they think we are wrong. And all those things, once upon a time in our life, you have believed all those things before. You can talk, you can preach them too. Right? For instance, there are some people who believe in many times baptism of the Spirit. That was what I was taught growing up. Right? Those books that they read, some people in the Pentecostal set who came to that understanding, those books that they read, we also read those books growing up. When we were children, when we were in teenage years, when we were adolescents, we read all those things too. That was what we were taught in Sunday school. So we are acquainted with those messages. This their doctrine about Trinity. I believe in Trinity. Don't make no two mistakes about it. I believe in Trinity. Here, because the Bible talks about Trinity. Just that I don't believe in the Trinity as some of the Pentecostals preaches Trinity, because that's what the Word of God teaches. This is their teaching of Trinity, that oh, there's God the Father who is on the throne, and there's another throne on the right hand side of God that Jesus is seated on. Probably there's another throne on his left side, the Holy Spirit is seated on. So there are three gods working together. It's ignorance gone on rampage. That's not what Trinity is. That's not the God's teaching of Trinity. Right? But those, that's how they teach the Trinity. That I can teach it and teach it the way they teach it. Even the Pentecostals, they are divided. If you don't know, when it comes to that message, they are divided. You have what we call the one Pentecostals, who don't believe it in that. But even the one Pentecostals, their understanding of Trinity is better than the traditional Pentecostals. Just that they also are wrong in certain in their explanation in certain ways. You see that. So I want to let you know, I am acquainted with their message, but they are wrong. If you are wrong, you are wrong. I have to show you from the word that you are wrong. Brother, read the Bible. Read Revelation. There's only one throne in heaven. The great white throne. There's only one throne. There isn't another throne. The other thrones the Bible talks about are the thrones for the 24 elders. And that it does even call it seats. But there's only one throne on in heaven. The one seated on the throne is Jesus. You see, where is God? Where is God the Father? That's another message, another time message. You see, they have to understand. These same people who accuse me and say that, brother, they say all nasty things about me just because I want to teach them the truth. These same people will sing songs in their church. They sing songs, the Lamb upon the throne. So are you not contradicting yourself? You call Jesus the Lamb upon the throne. Yes, till you say that there's another throne on the right-hand side of God that Jesus seated on because God said that, oh, sit on my right hand. That scripture, it doesn't mean that Brother Les doesn't know that scripture. I know it. I know all those scriptures where Jesus said that God said to Jesus, sit on my right-hand side till I make thy enemies thy footstool. I know them. But they don't understand what that means. So when he says sit on my right-hand side, it doesn't mean that there's another throne on God's right-hand side that beside the great white throne that Jesus should sit on. They should understand these things, right? You have to understand that the things of God is understand through the Holy Ghost. It's not because you put things together with your mind that means that you understand it. No, you have to be taught by grace of the Spirit. Where I am now, what the mysteries I hold, the deep mysteries that I hold, it's just by the grace of God that I know them and the Holy Ghost revealing deep things to me. You cannot know these things without the Holy Ghost opening your eyes, your spiritual eyes. You cannot know them. So don't think that because you are going to school, you can know spiritual things. Read what Paul says. He says that they are spiritually understood. See, the natural man cannot understand these things. They are spiritually understood. Now, let me explain something important to you that people don't get. People don't get. The Holy Ghost through Paul said that the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. Why? There isn't any human being, with the exception of the first Adam, who came to meet this earth in its unfallen state. Tell me any human being who said he came to meet this earth in its unfallen state. Every human being born to this earth after Adam came to meet a fallen world. So you came to meet a world which has fallen from grace. You came to meet a world which has fallen from the glory of God. That's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you came to meet a world which has fallen short of the glory of God. But man was supposed to be the glory of God. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that man is the glory of God, the image and the glory of God. But man fell from that glory. So you came to meet a world which has fallen from what? From the glory of God. Because sin came to this world and things changed. Things changed because Adam sinned. Right? All the wisdom of man from that then, whether it's Einstein, Newton, or any other person, is based on empirical data. What is empirical data? It's wisdom or knowledge gleaned from observation, experiences, research, testings. When you are doing the testings, when you are doing the research, when you are doing the observations, you are doing an observation on a fallen world. That's what God wants you to understand. Therefore, that wisdom, that knowledge gleaned from that word can never be absolute, can never be perfect. Now, Christian will say that, oh, brother Les, I don't agree with you, because what you are saying doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to you based on your mindset. Okay. What is your mindset based on? Is there any human being who was born into this world with the knowledge of an atom or electron or wave? When the physicist talks about waves, which physicist? Was Planck or Newton born with the knowledge of a wave? He grew up to acquire all this knowledge through his research and all these things. Does it mean that everything he says about waves is wrong? That's not what I'm saying. But that does also not mean that everything he says is right. You have to understand that. Because he's learning. But his learning, what he's learning is based on a fallen world. So his knowledge can never be perfect. And that's why in science, nothing is absolute. Every time, in everything that we do, say plus and minus. See, man can just try to know the truth. But only God knows the truth. And God knows this. So when you have your mindset, you say that brother Les is wrong because your mind, that mindset that you have now, no one was born with a knowledge of an atom. All that you know now, your mindset now, no matter who you are, is a product of the knowledge that you have gleaned from this world, the people that you are, you related with, the community that you live in, the surroundings, the books that you have read, the professors who taught you, the knowledge that they imparted to you. You are a product of all this. That has given you a mindset. So when you say that, what Violet have said, I don't agree with it. I don't believe it's true. It's not true based on what? Based on which your mindset, which your thinking, your thought. Which thought is based on what? Which thought is based on all the knowledge that you have acquired throughout your years being on earth. The knowledge that you acquired from this world, which is based on a fallen world. The knowledge that you have acquired through the culture, the Muslims of this world. The Muslims that they have passed on from one generation to another generation. Your culture that they have passed on to you. The things that you learn in school. That's all you are basing on to say that I am wrong. Because when you are born from your mother's womb, you didn't have anything in your mind. All the knowledge that you have now, all the thought was based on this world. Right? So when you say I don't agree with Brother Les, what do you really mean? You have to understand what you mean. You mean that the mindset that you have now, because anything, how you reason, you have to understand. When anything comes to you, how you respond is based on your mindset. And every human being has a mindset. And how you are going to respond in any situation is based on the mindset that you have. That's how you are programmed. Human beings are like computers. Garbage in, garbage out. It's like that. So your programming, how you have been programmed, your mind has been programmed, is how you are going to respond to situations. So when Brother Les comes with the message of God, the mysteries of God, and you say that, oh, Brother Les is wrong, it's because of the mindset that you have now, the mindset that you presently have. That's why it doesn't make sense to you. And that mindset is based on the things that I've said earlier, based on your school, based on your surroundings, based on your culture, based on the people that you talk to. And that's why even take two people who have lived, one person maybe has lived in America, one person who has lived in Ghana or Nigeria. They don't have, I'm not talking about Christians, they don't have the same mindset about things. Right? Because they have lived in different societies. They have come, even the same Ghana or the same house. They can people live in the same house, but different mindset. Why? Because even though they live in the same house, they may be reading the same different books, they have been watching different movies. Right, they have been relating with different people. They are doing different courses, so they have different mindsets. So what will not make sense to you will make sense to somebody. Now let's take two people. Even here, I'm not talking about even people who are Christians. Let's take two atheists, right? Even though if we take atheists, there are some atheists who detest strongly homosexuality and sodomy. They detest them. They detest it. It's not that they are Christians, they are atheists. It's not that even they are religious, but they detest it. Why? Because the culture and the surroundings and the society within which they lived, they have been trained to get a mindset that this is wrong. Right? There are other atheists who will tell you that it's okay, it's a human right. Now, it makes sense to both the one which who disagrees with sodomy, it makes sense to him. The one who agrees with it, it makes sense to him. Why? Because they have different mindset. Please, do you understand that? And God knows this. He knows that, man, you came to meet a fallen world. All your wisdom is based on your experience, observations on this world. So you know that, and God knows that this world is fallen. It has fallen from his glory. So what man thinks is truth is not what is truth. For instance, in the world, they came to me, everybody came to meet a world where men are getting sick and dying. So sickness has become normal to you. So when you say that, oh, when you come with and say that, oh, man should not be sick, they say you are blasphemous. Why? It's because they came to meet a world where men are getting sick. But the question you have to understand is, was it supposed to be so? Now, let me ask you a question. All of you Christians, you believe that in the new Jerusalem, in the new heaven and earth to be coming, when Jesus Christ comes and set the kingdom, there won't be any sick person. There won't be any sins too. Okay, what does that tell you? That tells you that sickness is not right. Right? That's what that tells you. Because if sickness is right, then in the next world that Jesus will be coming, man ought to be sick. If it was right for man to be sick, then it also has to be in the New Jerusalem. But God tells you that there won't be any sickness, meaning that it was not when God created man, his intention was not man to be sick. And that is why Jesus Christ, the Bible tells him when he comes back, he's going to restore everything, letting you that man was not supposed to be sick. So in the restored world, which will be the new age, that's why there won't be any sickness. Meaning that when God created man, man was not supposed to be sick. Please, do you get that? But man, based on his wisdom that he has now and the fallen world that he came to meet, everyone is getting sick. So to him, it's normal for a person to be sick. No, it's not normal for a Christian to be sick. Because for you to be a Christian means that you have been bought out of the world and you have been restored back to grace with God. Do you get that? You are not the one who has fallen short of the glory anymore. The world, they are still falling short of the glory, but not you. Right? When we say these things, it doesn't mean that we don't know science. I have PhD in science, in clinical medicine, preclinical, right? I know science. I have a science. I went through school. And this is not to boast. I don't need all these things. When I was in class in the university, I excelled so much in science. And even my research, I excelled. All the A's that people get, I also got all the A's too. The first classes that people got, I also got the first classes too. But all those things, they are vain. They are vain. You have to understand that. When we come and we present God's mind to people, it doesn't mean that we don't know so much about science. Right? By God's grace, we know a lot of things about science. But I'm not called to be a scientist. I've been called to be a man of God, to speak God's mind. Right? So sometimes people have to humble themselves. That intellectual things that they know, we also know them. At least, you have to also give her credit that you also know them. Right? So if you also want to talk about intellectual things, I can come and be talking about intellectual things and talking about evolutions and talking about molecular things and all those things and signaling pathways, receptors and all those things. It's not that I don't know all those things. I know all those things too. I'm a scientist, right? I'm a scientist. But we come to preach the word of God. Doesn't mean that we don't know those things. We preach the word of God because wisdom and truth is what God says. So people have to humble themselves and sometimes act because sometimes they think that because we are men of God, we are stupid. No. Men of God are not stupid. There are a lot of men of God in the world who are highly educated, very educated, even some Christians who think they are more educated. So, right? There are a lot of us who are highly educated. We know stuffs. But it's just because of the grace of God. That's why we have known the mysteries and want to bring people in to understand. So when you see men of God, you're preaching the mysteries of God. It doesn't mean that men of God are foolish or you are not intellectual. No. People have to understand certain things. You have to understand certain things. If I ask you, why do men die? You, the average Christian will say that, oh, men die because of what? of sins. They die because of sins. Yeah, that is true. Because in Romans chapter 5, the Bible says that by the sin of the first Adam, death came to this world. Okay. Then you ask the Christian. You Christians, you say that Jesus has paid for all your sins. Did he pay for it? Why then, after Jesus paid for men, Christians are still dying? Why are they still dying? You see, if you don't have the answers, you don't have it, humble yourself to be taught. You said he has paid all. After someone has paid everything, why should you then continue suffering? You see, why should you continue suffering? It's not, I don't know, didn't Paul, Peter, and James, didn't James die? Apostle James, didn't he die? It's not, I don't know all those things. You see, this is not the platform for me to explain certain things. But people, if you don't understand certain things, it doesn't mean that there are not reasons for certain things. You know, there are many men of God over the years who will say that God, for instance, someone dies, say that God give it and God take it. Beloved, what I'm going to say, it is true, but I know so many of you, God give you the grace to understand. Death doesn't come from God. You have to understand this. Death doesn't come from God. When you read Revelation chapter 20, verse 14, the Bible tells you that death and Hades shall be cast into hell. And because death and Hades will be cast into hell, whether it's spiritual death or physical death, they all be cast into hell. That there won't be any more death. God doesn't cast his friends to hell. It's only his enemies that he casts to hell. It's only things that he detests that he casts to hell. It's only things that he doesn't like that he casts to hell. So death, if God has, you know, as I will say that God has an angel of death, well, then he casts the angel of death to also to hell then. God, like God has an angel of death who goes around to take people home. No, you have to understand certain understanding. Have understanding. God is not God who brought death to this world. You have to understand certain things. The sovereignty of God doesn't mean that God wakes up and that's what he wants. God is highest in authority. But he, in his authority, has chosen to give man his free will. And free will is not free will without consequences. Without consequences for your actions, then free will is not free will. The reason why free will is free will is because when God chose to give man his free will, means that you have to have consequences for your actions. Because if you don't have consequences for your actions, then what is free will? Please, do you get that? The Bible says that in Adam, all men died. It didn't say in God, in Adam. They say in Christ, all men will be made alive. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about that. It's not God who brought death. Let me ask you a question. If you go to the Supreme Court, the High Court, or Appeals Court, a case is brought to a judge. Maybe someone commits murder. The judge looks at the case and says, man, you committed murder. You deserve capital punishment. To be killed. Doesn't mean it's the judge who caused the death of the man. No. It is the man who caused his own death. He did what he was not supposed to do. The judge just has to be righteous and present what the man deserved to him. The judge could even be a relative of the man. But once he's a judge, he's supposed to go by the laws of the state. He can't say that because I like you, I'm going to what? Defer judgment when it comes to you. Then he becomes unrighteous. Please, do you get that? Remember that Adam was not the first creature of God to sin. The first creature of God to sin was Satan and the fallen angels. When Satan sinned, God condemned Satan to eternal damnation. And Adam sinned. For God to say that, oh Adam, as for you, I'm going to overlook your sin. It means God unrighteous as a judge. So even though God loved Adam, so he had to give Adam what he deserved. That's why before Adam sinned, he came to one Adam. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of sin and death. For then in the day that you do that, you shall surely die. He says, I have set to you life and death. Then he tells you what he wants for you. In John chapter 30, God said, I have set before you life and death. Then he goes on, choose life. God says that, hey, I want you to live. I have set before you life and death. What does he mean? When he said, I have set before you life and death, it means I've given you your free will. Like I said, free will is nothing without consequences. And if you love someone, you give him his free will. When you impose something on somebody, love is nothing without when you impose things on people. So if God chose to have a love relationship with man, because of that, he ought to give man his free will. When he gives man his free will to it, it means that there are consequences for man's action. So when God says that in Deuteronomy that I have set before you life and death, what he's telling you, I've given you your free will. But then he goes on to tell you, choose life. God says, but even though I've given you your free will, I love you. I want you to live. So choose life. Go that way. Adam says, no, I'll choose death. I'll sin. I'll choose death, like many people always do. What do you want God to do? You want God to defer judgment and say, Adam, you have chosen death. But as a judge, I'm going to what? Overlook your case when I didn't overlook Satan's case. God becomes unrighteous. And that's why God gave man what he deserved. It didn't mean that God brought death to this world. There's a difference. Please, do you get? There's a difference. That's why people have not understood. Please, let's go on. Glory be to God. God is a good God. You see, when you don't get an understanding, then you really understand what the Bible really says. God is love. That's why many people have not understood. When you get an understanding of things, they say, oh, this God is truly love. Is beyond comprehension. God is not like how people present, like God is there wanting to people to die. No, God is not like that. God is life. God is life. You have to understand that. God is not the one who wants people to be dying, right? And getting sick and those things. You understand what it means when the Bible says that man is the glory and image of God. Do you understand? Like I said, for instance, when you preach to him that Christians ought not to be sick, it doesn't make sense to him, because he can attest to many men and Christians alike getting sick and even dying. So that statement becomes unreasonable to him. This is why Paul said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. It sounds foolish to him because he or she reasons from the sensual standpoint. The word natural man means one driven by the senses, emotions, and passions. It means someone who is very sensitive. Such people are even offended when truth is spoken to them. When a Christian is like that, the Bible refers to him as the carnal man. There are those Paul described as carnal-minded Christians in his epistle to the Christians at Rome. He is a Christian, yet carnal. They reason out truth from their senses, emotions, passions, and experiences. Such a mind, the Bible says, is an enemy of God. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. God says that the carnal mind is an enemy to me. Romans chapter 8, verse 7. God doesn't hate that individual, but he hates that mind. Hence, it will be difficult for such a person to experience the things of the Spirit. It will be difficult for the Holy Ghost to put through to him. God says that the reason why the natural man cannot receive the things of God, the reason why they are foolishness to him, is that the things of God are spiritually discerned. They are understood through the eyes of the Spirit, but natural men reason from their senses, experience, and observation. Which experiences, senses, and observations is based on the fallen world, as I've earlier explained. As a Christian, let truth be based on the Word of God, and the Word of God only. Why should truth be based on the Word? Because this whole universe, this Word, was the Bible let you know, it was created by God's Word. Right? And everything You see, what God is trying to tell you is this. Leglifa glupalaha clavis. Libradige leglus capradi clavis. Listen to the words of wisdom, said the Spirit of God. Please listen. The Word of God. John says, all things were made by the Word. And without the Word was not anything made that was made. So the Word created everything. Because everything God created, I'm talking about before the fall, because everything God created came from the Word, it meant that everything was supposed to conform to the Word. Right? Because everything came from the Word. Everything that you see. Had Adam not fell and had not this world fallen, everything in this world would have conformed to the Word of God. But when man fell, things in this world were not conforming to God's Word. And that's why their wisdom doesn't conform to the Word of God. Their experience doesn't conform to the Word of God. Their observation doesn't conform to the Word of God. Right? So now he tells you that renew your mind. Because to go by their wisdom, which does not conform to the Word of God in every situation, you'll be living in error. And there will be disorderliness in your life too. The Master said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John chapter 17, verse 7. Only what God says concerning any issue is what is truth. To disregard his word concerning you in any situation because of emotions, observation, people's report and experiences is an insult to the only true God. He is the only true God, and what he says is final. This is all what faith is about. Sometimes some Christians think they live in faith when really they are not. Anytime you put experiences, emotions, passions, and observations above God's word, you are not in faith. But for we live by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. God bless you.
Thanks for joining us. Please subscribe to our weekly podcast and download our app, Light Embassy Church. Stay on the channel for the next episode.